You have your Bibles, turn me to the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter. I'm going to start with the 3rd verse. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up into God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. This is the topic on today. Now is come salvation. Now is come salvation, which is taken from this 10th verse. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength. Oftentimes, the reason why we, the body of Christ, are so deceived is because we do not connect the dots. As we said this morning in our Bible study, that you can take the headlines from just about any newspaper, you can turn to the Bible, you can find an answer to it, or the Bible speaking of that headline. For instance, we saw in Chile there was another earthquake. And so you can turn to the Bible and say there should be earthquakes in diverse places. These are the beginning of sorrow. These are things that are the indication of the return of Christ Jesus our Lord. So we can turn to the Bible and see things happen, and we can pinpoint and look at saying, okay, this is an indication that God is coming. Well, we that have been following the news, we've also heard of another incident. We've heard of other things. One of the things we've heard of is that in Egypt, President Hosni Mubarak resigned and stepped down from the position as being the leader of Egypt. And so the whole nation is rejoicing, and because they say for 30 years he's been in leadership, and they're saying, well, okay, now we have our freedom now. We can have freedom that we didn't have while he was in leadership. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, how then does this affect us as believers? Is there something there that we don't see that we need to be made aware of as believers in Christ Jesus? And there is an answer from the Lord. Amen. Going back to our passage of scripture and what was reading there. Revelation 12:3 said, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. First of all, dragon, some folks think that's mythological. And some folks have never seen a fire-breathing dragon before. But in just about every culture around the world, they have a dragon. The Chinese have dragons. In Europe, they have dragons. Here in the Bible, they speak about dragons. So I believe dragons to be real, even though I haven't seen one. Some folks say they are serpents. Some folks say they're other kind of animals, but the Bible refers to them as dragons. And to say that this dragon, that he's having 7 heads 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Well, if you go through and you read the book of Revelation 12, that you find that this dragon gives power to a beast. This beast is representative of nations. And sometimes folks look here and they see this, the 7 heads, the 7 heels, and they say, well, that represents Rome. And some folks see this as speaking about Rome, and that there are going to come 10 kings, and out of these 10 kings are going to come the Antichrist, which is going to set up and establish himself from that confederation of those 10 European nations, is what some folks say. But here you find that this red dragon gives power to these nations. Revelation 12:7 says, there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and that dragon fought and his angels. So there's a war in heaven where the angels of God fought against the dragon and his angels. And it said that the dragon lost, and that a third of the angels with the dragon were kicked out of heaven. And the Bible says, woe to the folks on the earth, cause Satan come knowing that he hath but a short time. Know that his time is limited. Now, let's fast forward to today. We read the headlines about Egypt and the person stepping down as the president of Egypt. You say, well, what does that have to do with what I just read? One of the things you find out is that whenever the enemy comes, there is one main place that he attacks. Revelations 12 and 14 says this right here. And to the woman was given 2 wings. This is the woman, there's a red, who gave birth to this child, who is the Christ child. So we know that woman is representative of Israel. And to the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she may fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. That woman represents Israel. And it says in the 15th verse of this 12th chapter, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he may cause her to be carried away of the flood. The serpent or Satan is after Israel. He can't touch the child, which is the Christ child, but he tries to persecute the nation that brought forth the Christ child, which is Israel. Throughout the Bible, one of the things that the enemy does, that Satan does, he tries to come against the nation of Israel. That's one of the designs of the enemy. Zechariah 3:2 says this, and the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that have chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Here, once again, God said he rebukes Satan over Jerusalem. 1 Chronicles 21:1 says this, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. God wanted Israel to trust him. But the Bible says Satan provoked Israel, provoked David to number Israel, or to count the troops they had, to show their might. And Satan knew that if he got David to do this, because God is a holy God, God's wrath would be visited upon Israel. And that's what happened. Satan's whole plan and design is to attack or go after Israel. So we see then that from the book of Revelations, these other passages of scripture that I just gave to you, that Satan's design is to choke off Israel. As I said, let's fast forward to the headlines of today. This is something that's put out by the Anti-Defamation League, which is a Jewish group. And what they do, they laid out what some of these groups surrounding Israel, what they believe about Israel, these Muslim nations. And Egypt is at the south of Israel. In August 1988, Hamas issued its covenant, laying down its ideological principles and goals, replete with anti-Semitism. It echoes the notorious protocols of the Elders of Zion and charges Jews with an international conspiracy to gain control of the world. In Hamas' worldview, Islamic precepts forbid a Jewish state in the area known as Palestine. The Jewish people have no legitimate connection to the land of Israel, and Yasser Arafat is a traitor to the Islamic Palestinian cause, someone who's passed on and gone. As the Hamas covenant proclaims, the land of Palestine is an Islamic trust. It is forbidding to anyone to yield or concede any part of it. Israel will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it. This is what Hamas says. Their goal is to obliterate Israel. And you find that a lot of the nations surrounding Israel are born into that same type of ideology. Through the 2006 election campaign, Hamas candidates and leadership did not disavow their commitment to an armed struggle against Israel. Their refusal to recognize Israel's right to exist and the precept of the Hamas charter. There's a group in Egypt called the Muslim Brotherhood who believe in the very same thing, that Israel should not be where it is. So when we see that, okay, now and this is why the United States of America supported Egypt for as long as they did. They saw in Hosni Mubarak, they saw a stabilizing influence over that area. Because once before, what they called the Six-Day War in the 1960s, all the Muslim nations around Israel warred against Israel. God showed his might and his power, and Israel defeated all of those nations in 6 days. That's what they call the Six-Day War. But we see once again here is that is an indicator that Satan, what he's trying to do, he's trying once again to destroy Israel. Now, we that are studying and reading the Word of God, when we see these things happening, our antenna should go up. Because we know that one of the things that the enemy has always tried to do is to destroy Israel. Now, let me say this. I'm not saying that Israel are righteous people, as some folks say. For you find that Christ Jesus called them hypocrites. Whited sepulchers. This is how I refer to Israel. So I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that what Israel represents is the hand of God moving in the land of people. Moving in the earth. That's what Israel represents. Just like with the United States of America. They call the United States of America home of the free. But we know at the same time they're saying home of the free. At one time, we had segregationist laws. We had slavery going on. But what the country stood for meant much more than the people who were living in the country. The same thing with Israel. What Israel stands for God working in the land. God's hand amongst the people. There has never been a nation that was in their land and put out of their land and came back to their land hundreds of years later and still held to the same covenants, the same promises, the same worship
than Israel. No other nation has done that. Why? Because God said that Israel would always be before him. So it's not so much the people, but it's what the nation of Israel represents itself that Satan is trying to destroy. And so we see these things happening. We just start thinking, okay, now God, what are you trying to show us and tell us? So you see, one of the things that when Satan comes, what he does, he goes after Israel. And we just saw that. So we need to be aware of what's taking place. But another thing that Satan does this right here. When Satan comes, what he wants to do, he wants to steal the worship that belongs to God. In Matthew 4:10, it said, then Jesus said to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan wants to steal God's worship. And if we're not aware of that, then we're going to be duped into following along after Satan. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says this, but I feel this by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Just as Eve was deceived, the Bible said we need to be careful ourselves, we too be deceived. But the Bible said Satan has come. He's been kicked out of heaven. And he knows that he has a short time. Luke 10:18, Christ is our Lord said, and he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Satan has come to the earth. Know that he has a short time. He wants to worship. He wants to destroy Israel. And he wants to get you away from serving God. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, this is whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We're blind. Anytime that you're not doing what God's word say do, you are blind. Just read the other day, and I'll say this once again in our Bible study this morning. In the United Kingdom, they said they've now passed it, where gays and lesbians get married in churches now. They're blind. They don't see. They don't understand what God is doing. And a lot of us, we'll walk along blindly. We don't understand that God's trying to show us. It's in the headlines. See what I'm trying to tell you. But we go home, not blind, but still on. Not understanding what the word of God is saying. Listen to what Satan does. Revelation 9:20. Now, these were the folks who did not repent. Folks who said that, you know what? Oh, as long as I treat my brother all right and I do good, you know, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm a good person. Revelation 9:20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. What do you mean by worship? We talk about worship in our Bible study. What is worship? Some folks think worship is playing the drums and instruments. That's not what worship is. Jesus said God is a spirit, and he's seeking such to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's that thing that's in you. And you know how you prize that car? I don't mess with my car. You prize that job? I don't talk about my job. You prize your children? It's that thing that's within you. That's what worship is. That thing you bow down before, that thing that you cling to, that thing that you love so much, that's what worship is. And we don't know what worship is. We think worship is playing the gospel music and playing the drum, and so we come up and we sing, say, well, I'm worshiping. No, that's not the worship that Christ is talking about. And what we're doing, we're worshiping devils and idols of gold. You see my gold? Look at my bling bling I got on. We're worshiping those things, wood, things that cannot see nor hear. Those are the things we're bowing down to instead of repenting and coming back to God. This is what the enemy wants to do. Matthew 13:39 says, the enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. See, the enemy, he's constantly sowing things. And let me tell you this right here. When you come to church and folks want to stick by the word of God, they want to do it their own way. I mean, I was telling this before. No, I won't share that because I told it earlier. But when folks come to church and they think they can live any kind of life and still say they are Christians, those are the tares sowed in among the wheat. And who sowed them? But the devil. There are those that's coming into our churches, don't have no intention on living right, don't want to live right, don't care how hard you preach, how much you pray, they're going to still do the same thing they're always doing. Their only intent is to sway others and get others to come along and do as they are doing. Luke 8 and 12 say, those by the wayside, they that hear, then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's what the enemy is coming for. To steal the word from you. So you won't believe in Christ Jesus. So you won't love the Lord Jesus. But you know, I'm still young. But you know, I mean, I need more money. I can't be satisfied with what I got. And I need more. Well, you know what? That church thing just not my thing right now. You know, I get it together later on. I mean, we make all these excuses without realizing no more than the enemy in our hearts, the enemy in our minds making us doubt. How could you possibly turn your back on someone so good? How could you possibly put God off and tell God later? How could you possibly say, I'm too young? How could you possibly say to the one who has your life in his hand that you are not ready? It's because there's somebody else that's whispering. 1 John 3:8 says that he that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Salvation has come. So anything that the enemy brings out, anything the enemy puts out, you got to believe that God puts out something greater. Even though with all the corruption that's in the world now, even though in UK they're talking about having same-sex marriages in the churches now, even though now they're talking about trying to legalize same-sex marriages, even though now they're trying to say that, well, you know, the Bible is not really a historical factual book. Even though they're trying to say, they no longer now say it's the theory of evolution now, but they call evolution a fact. And no one's ever shown me anything that has evolved from nothing into something, but now they're calling it a fact. Even though you're putting all this stuff out there, God is still working and showing the world that salvation has come. For those that want to receive Jesus, God is still showing himself mighty and showing himself strong. For those who are still crying out, God, save me. God said, I will rebuke the enemy. When you look at the nation of Israel, how is it they can exist since 1948 and not be destroyed when all around them are Muslim nations who want to destroy them? Because God said, I have my hand upon Israel and no one can take out what I have ordained. And God is saying the same thing in a wicked world, in a crooked world, where folks don't see the need for salvation. God is saying, through my son Jesus, I came to give you life. I don't care how wicked and how corrupt mankind may be. God is saying there is an answer, and the answer is in Jesus. Jesus said, for this reason that I came, to destroy the works of the devil. Don't you know that in Christ Jesus there is hope? In Christ Jesus there is peace. In Christ Jesus there is deliverance. In Christ Jesus, no matter what the enemy may bring your way. Some folks feel all down. Oh, look at the headlines. Look what they're doing now. Oh, look at what they're doing. They're taking proud. They took proud to school. Oh, look what they did now. They're talking about legalizing same-sex marriages. And they're talking about taking the Bibles out and taking the Ten Commandments down. I don't care what they say or what they do. The God that I serve is a mighty God. The God that I serve is a great God. The God that I serve is able. When man thinks he can do his best, God said, your best is not better than my worst. For I can still rise up as a great God and bring forth healing, bring forth deliverance, because I'm God. A lot of folks read the book of Revelation and get down and depressed. I read Revelation, I get excited. Because for everything the devil tries to throw our way, God blocks it. And God shows I'm a great God and a mighty God. The Bible said, we look under the throne and the souls crowd, how long, O Lord, before thou avenge us on the earth? And the Bible says a little while longer, for there are some more that are going to come in. Some are going to come in through hard times. Some are going to come in through tribulation. Some more are going to come in through persecution. There are still some more that come in who, because they love me, yes, it may seem hard, but God said, I'm great to save. I'm great to deliver. I don't care what the enemy may bring. So a lot of us, we don't read the book of Revelation before going to bed tonight because it makes us afraid and we're terrified. We need to read all the way to the end. For in the end, we win. Salvation is come. God wants to know, I don't care what Israel is doing. I don't care what's going on in Egypt. I don't care what man may think with the government to do. The God that I serve is a great God and a mighty God. And he's able to keep me. And to help me. And take me through. See, so I'm glad. The salvation is come. Because no matter what I'm going through, I can turn and I can call on God. And he'll be there for me. No matter what pain I may be feeling, I can turn and I can call on God. And he'll be there for me. The Bible said, salvation is come. The word salvation means deliverance is come. God said, I don't care what your problem may be in life. If you trust in the Lord, yes, I told you that hard times are going to come. The Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Don't you know we serve a God that's able to do exceeding and abundantly above anything we could think or ask of him? Don't you know we serve a God that cares for us, a God that loves us, a God that will be there for us? And see, the sad part about it is this right here. Some of us, we don't see it and we don't get it. And we wonder, why is it so hard? When I see good, evil is always present, as the Apostle Paul said. And sometimes because the evil is so overwhelming, it seems like we just want to throw the towel in and give up. I'm trying to tell you, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Keep the faith. Keep your trust in God. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, these things are written to you as an example. These things are written. So when you see these things happening, God say, take comfort in the word. Just like I told you, bad times are going to come. Guess what? Good times are coming too. These things are written to us so we know that God's salvation is there for us. God's salvation is there to keep us. God's salvation through his son Jesus is so we don't lose faith and lose hope. And sometimes we as Christians, we look at TV, we look at the news, and we get discouraged. When our job feel like sometimes we're the only one that's saved. Seem like we try to call and talk to other folks about the Lord. And they're like, they don't want to hear it. Sometimes it feels like that we're just in this thing all by ourselves. But God wants you to know, salvation has come. And salvation is in the form of his son, Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't care what the headlines say. I don't care what others may say to you on your job. I don't care what even you may think about the current economic conditions, about the world and situation. In Christ Jesus, there is a hiding place. In Christ Jesus, there is peace and there is love. In Christ Jesus, what you've been seeking for, you can find. See, the thing that gets me, and I've been praying, I've been talking to the Lord. God, how can we make this thing truly real to the people? As a pastor, as a teacher of the Word of God, it's very important that I study God's Word. And not only God's work, but the history as to how God has worked throughout the ages. As I said, I said, it's just so overwhelming, the evidence out there showing that Jesus is the Son of God. It's so overwhelming with the miracles and the conversions taking place throughout the world. It's just so overwhelming. I said, well, God, how can we communicate this to your people, to the world, that Jesus truly is the answer, that Jesus truly is the way? And the Bible said, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. Sylvester, you can put the word out. But if their hearts are not open to receive Christ Jesus, I don't care what you preach. I don't care what you teach. I don't care what you say. They still gonna turn away from someone who offers them life, joy, and peace. The Bible has warned us. Earthquakes in diverse places. Nation against nation. Famine, strife, pestilence. The Bible's warned these things are going to happen. And we see these things happen. Now, don't you know, if God had warned me in the Word what's going to happen, and I see these things happening, don't you know that I know that the only safety that I could possibly have would be in Christ Jesus? So why would I look to anything else? Salvation has come. But it's only come for those who's willing to receive it. If you want to deal with the pestilence, which I mean that's what AIDS is, pestilence, disease from animals. If you want to deal with that yourself, by yourself, come on. You want to deal with the earthquake, just destroying thousands, shaking up cities, and you don't know when it's going to hit, where it's going to hit, go on. You want to deal with this weird weather we've been having lately, 18 below, 20 below, 30 below. Folks haven't seen weather like this, and they don't know since when. You want to deal with these uncertainties in life, go on. The economy going broke, folks thinking that, okay, it's going to recover. And every time they say it's going to recover, there's something that pops up and say, well, it's not going to recover. Folks losing their houses, losing their home. If you want to deal with that, come on. Relationships busting up. As we said on last Sunday, family against family members, mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, children against the parents, parents against the children. If you don't have that kind of confusion in your life, go on. But I much rather receive the salvation that comes through Christ. Knowing that in all of those things, in all of those negative situations, God has given me a promise that I'm an overcomer. And why? Because I have received the salvation that comes from Christ Jesus. So when the mortgage, so when I got a house and I had enough money to pay my bills, I can just fall on my knees and talk to God. When I go to India, go to the Philippines, there are threats being made on my life, I can talk to God. When the family may seem like they're against me, I can talk to God. When my job telling me, I think the position you're in should be a clerical position. You've been there 20-some years. I can talk to God. You can have your way of solving your problems. But let the salvation that comes from Christ Jesus be my portion. With it being my portion, I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens. because I know someone is able that can keep me through all my trials and all my tribulations. Salvation has come. Has it come for you? Are you still trying to work out your own thing and make it fit your situation rather than making your life fit the Word of God? Salvation has come. Has it come for you? Let us stay.